Can we turn now to the book of Ephesians and chapter 3? And you'll remember I'm doing a four-part series from the last part of Ephesians 3. We're thinking about the love of Jesus. So Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, and he doesn't just pray for the church at Ephesus, he prays for us too. That we, verse 18, so this is Ephesians 3, verse 18, that we may have power, together with all the saints, that's us, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. To know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's our goal, and we began by thinking about the foundation that God puts into the life of every Christian. In the verses 14 to 19, he makes us part of his family. He gives us power through his Spirit. He gives us the love of Jesus, and he gives us a great destiny. Lots of great things that he places in our lives. And we thought about how, as we spend time with Jesus, as we spend time in his word, and as we spend time waiting on him in prayer, looking at who he is, we're transformed. We receive revelation of his love to us. And as that love is revealed to us, it changes us. We are transformed. And that's what I want to think about this morning. Transformation. Transformation. Last weekend I was down in London, and I was preaching in Days Lane Baptist Church, of which Jamie Stewart from Plockton here is the pastor. It was wonderful to see Jamie in the role of pastor with a congregation which obviously loves him and respects him, and to see how well he was relating to them, to see his warmth towards people, his wisdom in dealing with them, and to see the maturity that he has as a person and as a Christian man. It's an example of God's transforming power, and there is no doubt about that. From where Jamie was when he first became a follower of Jesus to where he is today, amazing. Stories like that are wonderful, where we see people being transformed, and hopefully we've got our own story of transformation. We hopefully have got our own story of what Jesus can do in our lives. One of the great stories in the New Testament is the story of the transformation of Peter. Peter, in his early encounters with Jesus, is anything but confident about what Jesus can do with his life. On one occasion, we read in Luke chapter 5, he asked Jesus to leave him. "Depart from me," he says. "I'm a sinful man, Lord." He doesn't see that he's got any future with Jesus. All he can see is that he will just stay as a fisherman and just stay as the man he is. But Jesus has another idea. Jesus says, "No, follow me," he says, "and you will fish for men." And Peter does follow Jesus. And as he follows Jesus, he is, first of all, able to see the love of Jesus. And that love and that presence of Jesus transforms his life. And then he himself goes out and gets involved in founding churches. And later on in his life, he writes to one of those churches in 1 Peter, one of his letters. And he says to these people who've never met Jesus personally, he says to these people who don't live in Palestine, they live up in Turkey, today it is, but Asia Minor it was. And he says to them, you know, you've not seen him, Jesus, but you love him. And even though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. So from being the fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, who wants Jesus to go away from him because he's a sinful man, he becomes the man who founds churches and he teaches people, and they themselves are able to see the love of Jesus and so rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Transformed. He's transformed and he becomes a transformer. So what about you? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be someone who is used to transform others' lives? Jesus' love for you is such that he is able to take you from where you are just now, and he is able to ultimately, verse 19, fill you to the measure of the fullness of God. That's how much he can transform you. He is able, verse 20, to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine according to his power at work within you. You can't even imagine what Jesus can do with you. And he can do it with you. He can transform you. As you discover his love. How does that happen? Well, in the Bible, transformation takes place through the mind. The mind is a powerful thing. In our minds, we can be stuck. Stuck in a way of thinking that becomes our destiny. If we listen to Jesus and spend time with him, our thinking changes. And as our thinking changes, so our destiny changes. I spoke last time about the Jesus effect. It's present throughout the Gospels, where people, most of whom in the encounters with Jesus are victims, and they think like victims. They're victims of chronic illness, they're victims of prostitution, they're victims of economic misery, they're victims of religious oppression. But when they meet Jesus, for a little moment they forget that victimhood. And as long as they spend time with him, they see that they could be better people. They believe in better things. The Jesus effect. And the Jesus effect is still present today. But we've got to spend time with Jesus. People who just come to church on Sunday and then have no further interaction with Jesus are limiting their opportunity to behold Jesus and to learn about his love greatly. They are not going to experience such a great revelation as those who spend time every day just opening up the Bible and saying to Jesus, "Well, Lord, show me afresh your love. Show me what you and your love would have me do today. Show me what you can make me become." If we spend time with Jesus, we will be transformed. We'll become people who, as we read in 1 John 4, know and rely upon the love that God has for us. We read in Romans 12 about how this happens. Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." How? by the renewing of your mind. That's what he says. Being conformed is just being like everyone. People are stuck in a rut in this world generally. They're stuck in the rut of where society's at and what society thinks is possible and where the politics is at and where the economics is at and you know where the healthcare is at and so on. And people get stuck in a sort of place of victimhood. Things are not working properly. Things are not good in the country. Things are not good in my life. Things were not good in my past. And they find that they can blame the things that are not right as reasons why they are not doing well, why they're not progressing in their lives, why they're not becoming the people that they could become. And so they're just conformed. They're just doing the same thing every day, stuck in this way of thinking that everyone else is in. If we're going to be transformed, our minds need to be renewed. If we think in a new way, our lives will be new. And the way that the Bible would have us think is about Jesus. And getting to know him, discovering who he is, and about his love for us. And if we do that, our thinking is changed, and we are changed. So the order is, we listen to the apostles' teaching, we listen to what it says about Jesus in the Gospels, we gain a knowledge of what verse 18 calls, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and in that knowledge of his love, we see possibilities, we see new horizons for our lives. We don't blame things anymore. We don't blame our circumstances or our past because we have a Saviour who is all-powerful and he loves us. And with him, life can change. Life can get better. We can be better people. We need to hear this all the time. I need to teach it to you constantly. We need to teach it to ourselves constantly. We need to tell each other this constantly. We need to tell about the love of Jesus. And that we don't need to be victims. Most people around us are victims. Listen to the way they speak. They complain. They complain about the weather. They complain about the people they have to share their lives with. The people they work with. Their boss. Their financial circumstances. They complain about the past. They complain about their upbringing. They complain about all kinds of circumstantial things that they use to excuse mediocrity in their lives. And why they're not going to change. And why things can't get better. And why they can't be better people. God just doesn't allow that in the lives of his people because he loves us. How can you be a victim when you're loved by the Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is beyond your ability to know it? It surpasses knowledge, verse 19, and that is all powerful and all conquering. So I today can't accept victimhood in my life. And I need to repent of thinking like a victim. And I catch myself doing it all the time, and particularly as I've been thinking about this subject recently, I realise I do it all the time. And if you listen to yourself, you probably notice the same thing. That what you're really saying a lot of the time is, you know, the reason why I can't do this, the reason why I can't improve, why I can't be better, why I can't do the right thing, why I can't overcome this temptation is because, and you find a reason. You find something to blame, some excuse that means you don't have to take responsibility in your life for doing the right thing. Something I've battled with all my life. Sometimes do refer to my own childhood. Well, let me do that today for a moment. I just remember a situation which occurred frequently when I was a little boy, right up to my early teens, where I would be in the house with my father, and my father would announce his intention to go to the pub, and I would say, "Dad, just please don't go to the pub. I want you here with me. I want to do something with you." He would invariably go to the pub. And that's a situation that's repeated in many homes in our land. In other words, you learn that your father loves alcohol more than he loves you. That's the reality of it. You can't really find any other way to put it. He loves his drinking buddies more than he loves his own son. For many years I used that to make myself a victim. To think to myself, well, you know, I've had such a hard childhood. And you know, I'd be a much better person if I hadn't had that bad start in life. But Jesus doesn't allow me to do that. Because Jesus comes to me and says, look, you, Roddy, are thinking to yourself that your father's love is what fits you as a person. And your father's love was poor. Your father's love was compromised by his alcohol addiction. And it was unreliable. And if you think that's the kind of level of love you can expect, and that you can't expect much out of life as a result, and that you'll never do any great things, think again. I love you. I love you with all the love in the universe. All the love in my heart. And it's more love than you can ever know. It's a love that will take me to die on a cross for you. For your sins. Not because you were good, but for your sins. I have a Father in heaven who loves his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, beyond measure. And that Father and that Son love me so much that the Father sent his Son, and the Son willingly came to live for 33 years on a battlefield. The battlefield of this world. And then to die on that battlefield for me. It's a love that is so great it passes my knowledge. The picture that came to my mind as I thought about it was the picture of Jack before his beanstalk. So Jack's standing there with a beanstalk. Thick beanstalk disappearing up into the clouds. And he knows that way beyond his vision, that beanstalk goes up into a place where giants walk. That's the love of Jesus. The little bit I can see of it is stupendous. But then it disappears out of my sight. To places unimaginable to me. It's that great. And that's the love that is towards me in Jesus. So, I cannot be a victim. How can I be a victim? And the staggering thing that's kind of come to me in this is that actually no one is a victim. No one. Put it this way, no one need be a victim. Because everyone in the world is loved by Jesus. And the power of that love knows no limit. And everyone in the world can turn to Jesus. Whatever the tragedy or misery or exploitation of their circumstances. And he'll help them. He will release them and deliver them out of victimhood. No one need be a victim. And so if you say, well, Roddy, it's all very well what you're telling me here this morning, but you don't know my situation. Well, my response would have to be, maybe I don't know your situation, but I know Jesus. And his love is such that you do not need to think like a victim. If you don't know him yet this morning, you can turn to him and he will deliver you out of anything that would make of you a victim. And if you do know him this morning, then you need to spend more time just listening to his love, learning his love, and the power that lies behind that. Because as your mind captures hold of that, and you think as a person who is loved by Jesus, and not like a person who is loved by an alcoholic father, but as a person who is loved by Jesus, your life changes. Because you begin to think more of yourself and expect more for yourself and to believe more is possible for you to accomplish and for you to become. Maybe we can even become like Paul, who can say in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Wow. So this morning I'm saying to whoever or whatever would make of me a victim, and I want you to say it too, to whoever or whatever would make of you a victim, the words of a Gloria Gaynor song. Because as I was preparing this, I started singing this song. You probably know what I'm going to say already. I started singing this song and I thought, and I said, I'm going to look at these words and they're so brilliant for this situation. It fits me perfectly. I spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry. I used to sit at the top of the stairs nearly every night and cry as I listened to my mother and father arguing downstairs. I spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, but now I hold my head up high and you see me, somebody new. I'm not that chained up little person still in love with you. And so you felt like dropping in and just expect me to be free. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Go on now. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. I'm trying not to break into song here. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with goodbyes? You think I'd crumble? Do you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I. I will survive. As long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. I've got all my life to give. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Me, a victim? Poor little me felt like dropping in, as the song says. Little self-pitying Roddy felt like dropping in. Heard I'd become a Christian. Got together with someone else. Become a Christian. But wanted me still to be that chained up little person, still in love with excuses and blaming others and attached to a lowly destiny. Walk out the door. Little me ain't welcome anymore. Poor little me, self-pitying victim me ain't welcome anymore. Now I'm saving all my loving for Jesus who is loving me. Now I'm saving all my loving for Jesus who is loving me. And when I look around, you can do the same. See people who still are stuck conforming as victims to the forces of this world. Conforming as victims to the things that were said to them as they grew up, the examples that were set for them, the circumstances they have to deal with, the hardships they have to bear, the people that are around them and the things that those people say, victims. I look and I say, there but for the love of God go I. Because the love of God changes everything. The love of Jesus changes everything. And so I have to love too. I have to have compassion on people. I have to want them to know the love of Jesus also and to be transformed. I have to follow in the footsteps of Jamie and of the Apostle Peter, and ultimately of Jesus, and fish for men, and seek that I can become all that I can become in Jesus, which is more than I can know, because it's to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And to seek that in becoming what I can become, I can help others to do the same, that they can become what they will become through Jesus. As I seek to follow him into my destiny, I seek to help others to follow him to their destiny with him too. It's exciting. In Kyle this morning, I had some books with me. And I went to one of the preschool kids in Kyle, and I had the Little Miss Sunshine book. And I opened it up, and I just said, "You know this book?" And she knows the book. I said, "Can you read it to us?" "No." "Well, she can't, because she's not learned how to read yet." And I said to her, "Lexi," I said, "if you just keep listening to what your mum and dad teach you and to what your nursery teacher teaches you and to what your school teacher teaches you, soon you will be able to read the Little Miss Sunshine book." And her face lit up. She could see her destiny. I had some other books in too. I showed some primary kids some high school maths books. They went, "Oh." I says, "Keep at it. You'll be doing that math soon." And I showed them the Bible. The Bible teaches us about things that we can't imagine yet. Things that are too great, too wonderful. We can't see how we can ever get from where we are now to where these places are that the Bible describes. But if we keep following Jesus, spending time with him, we will no longer be conformed to the mundane and mediocre patterns of this world. We will be transformed as our minds are renewed, and we will come into our glorious destinies with Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen.